This podcast is presented to you by SatelliteToday.com, the leading online source for business news and competitive analysis in the satellite-enabled communications market.
Hi, this is Julie Samuel, managing editor and online producer for Via Satellite Magazine and SatelliteToday.com. I am reporting from NAB 2008, and I'm sitting here on the show floor with Dave Hirschberg, CEO of Loadcom Systems. And thank you very much for spending some time with us this morning. Would you like to say a few words about your company?
Sure. For those who don't know who Loadcom Systems is, we started out in 94 as a satellite communication provider of satellite infrastructure. In 96, we started a company called NetSat Express, which provided internet service to developing countries. So we've basically been in the combination of service business and infrastructure business now since 96. Our major value to our customers is that we can build systems for them, we can then manage the systems, we can provide space segment, we can provide 7x24 calling and service for our customers. Some good examples of that are places like Afghanistan, where we built a complete nationwide network, and now we provide about $450,000 a month of service, which includes two transponders, voice over IP, and internet on a continuing basis. So our business plan is really to build infrastructure, then get service, then hopefully get some service requirements after it, so we can get continuing income and an income stream, not just build hardware, but provide service for many years for our customers. Our business right now, this year, will do about $200 million in revenue, which we end our year in June 30th, and about $60 to $62 million worth of service revenue. Our goals are to increase that service revenue to somewhere around 50% of our business.
So how does Loadcom reach the next level in growing its business and its revenues?
Well, there's two major ways that we're looking to grow the company. As you know, as a public company, you got to keep growing or you're going to have a problem. And we've been fortunate to be growing on the revenue side about 20% a year for the last 4 years, and on the bottom line, about 50% a year. So this is a very good record, but it's one you got to work on every year to keep it up. So two areas that we obviously need to grow in. One is we've been actively looking for another acquisition. We did an acquisition back in May. Right now we're looking for another one. We did raise some money this summer, and we hope to be able to use that to provide an acquisition, mainly in the service space. The other growth is to come up with some new service offerings and new products. And we've been pretty good at doing that over the last 4 or 5 years. Some of the ones that we feel that we're really going to grow with are in the government business. We developed a whole family of tactical radio terminals, which we've been very successful with. And we have a cellular offering for both infrastructure and provide service. We have a $20 million order, for instance, in Alaska for GCI to build a cellular system into 200 small villages. We have a very good product for that. It's an IP-based cellular product that's very efficient, allows them to work into very small villages at a very, very efficient price. We also provide cellular service out of our facility in Long Island, where we can run small cellular properties everywhere from a base in Afghanistan for the 82nd Airborne all the way to Wilkes Telecom down in Atlanta and places in the Caribbean, different places in Africa, Middle East. What we do is we host a switch that controls either CDMA or a GSM network. We can provide all of the facilities needed for a modern cellular network out of our facility. We can make money on a per subscriber basis by doing that, and our customers do not have to buy or maintain a switch. What they need to do is put in their radio systems, the base systems, and maintain their interfaces with their customer. The other area that's been a growth area is right here in NAB. We've been very successful in the IPTV area. In the last couple of years, we've won the major IPTV contracts, including the first MPEG-4 IPTV broadcast center for SES Americom called IP Prime. We're now building a large media center in India for a company called Bharti, which is the largest cellular operator in India, to provide streaming video to handheld cellular phones, to direct-to-home, cable head ends, and the internet, all in the same media center. And we've got contracts in many other places to do broadcast and IPTV. We also, out of our facility from a operations and service, we run video services for Showtime out of our facility. We also have about five other customers that we probably run about color about 70 channels, both domestically and internationally, out of our facility. So the growth areas are really broadcast, cellular, and the government business.
Do you see more growth in North America or internationally? You recently sealed a deal in Asia, an infrastructure contract with a major service provider. So do you see more growth possibly in North America or internationally?
In the broadcast area, we're seeing a lot of growth for IPTV internationally. We've done a lot of work in Malaysia. We just got another contract there. We got another contract with a new video provider, direct-to-home provider in the Far East. We have a contract in Singapore. We hope to have one in Indonesia shortly. We're bidding another one in India. This one that we're talking about is this Bharti contract we just talked about in India, which we're very proud of because it's the first one really of its kind to really provide service all over. So in the broadcast area, we're finding more service coming out international. In the cellular area, we think the future there is mainly for small operators internationally, and we think there's going to be some good business there. As far as the cellular business, we feel that there's going to be a lot more for small operators internationally. Even though the bulk of our success has been domestically, we think there's, when we get out selling it, there's going to be more internationally. We have a whole market we think internationally that we haven't really tapped, which is in the foreign government military area. We've been very successful building product here in the U.S. Our business is now about 50% U.S. government, and we think there's potential business overseas for overseas governments with the same kind of products that we're delivering to the U.S. government. I like doing business in the U.S. It's a lot better. You know the people you're dealing with. You can deal with them a lot easier. Sometimes it's somewhat difficult dealing in different cultures. Like sometimes contracts really don't mean anything to them. You know, other people it does. I'm not saying as a general rule, but sometimes it doesn't mean a lot. And you have to just learn how to work. I've been doing international now for 45 years, so, you know, I understand it, but it's, if I had my choice in doing business in Washington, D.C. or someplace in Africa, I think I'd rather do it in Washington, D.C.
So what do you think is your competitive advantage in the North American market as well as internationally?
Well, I think we're one of the few companies that can provide a complete turnkey solution. A lot of companies will tell you they can do that, and what they would do is they'd have to go ahead and work with other suppliers to do it. We can do it under one roof. We can provide complete infrastructure and service. We have teleport worldwide. We own another teleport as a result of our acquisition down in Maryland. So we have a Laurel, Maryland teleport. We have a Long Island teleport. We work out of Los Angeles, Dubai, Hong Kong. Also, we have an affiliation to this new acquisition in Poland for a Polish teleport. So we pretty much can cover the whole world and provide service any place in the world. So we can build the systems. We can maintain the systems. We can provide the service to them. We understand satellite real well. We know how to optimize networks for people. And we can do that on a continuing basis, hopefully year after year. And that business, to me, is very important to us because it's like an annuity. And when you build infrastructure for people and you ship it out the back door, you got to go get it in the front door. I've been doing this 48 years, and it's never been easy. In the service business, basically, if you do a good job and keep your customers, you build on them, they renew their contracts. A number of our contracts are 3 to 5 year contracts. So it's from a standpoint of being able to plan where your next business is coming from, it's a much better business. But our real value is really complete turnkey solution for our customers.
We've been heading into a difficult time economically with the credit crunch crisis. Do you think this is going to affect your market and the way you do business?
I don't know about the way we do business. Again, we do a lot with the U.S. government. I hope it's not going to affect that too much. You know, we do $100 million a year with the U.S. government, and we're still a relatively small player. And we have, I think, a long way to go as far as being able to, you know, get more market share and be able to grow. So I'm not too concerned about that market. What we're seeing in some of the capital investment on some of our new customers that we won contracts with is them getting the financing. I think that's what happened in 2000 when we were mostly international, mostly selling capital goods to carriers. We had a very poor year in 2001 when things went, the bubble burst. And we since then have really diversified our markets. Then we were doing mainly carriers and broadcasters international. Now we're doing, like I say, U.S. government. Then we were doing very little U.S. government. So I think we're insulated to a large extent to that. But that being said, there are a couple of projects that we're waiting to hear about that we think we have a good shot at winning that are waiting to get financing. Nowadays, I think it's a little bit harder to get credit than it was to get financing. I think that's the only area that I'm seeing it right now.
And finally, what would you say was the major event in the satellite industry last year?
Oh, there were just so many of them.
What would you say of the C-band?
Well, I think those people did a wonderful job. I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, because I was also nominated Satellite Executive of the Year for you guys, which I still appreciate. And I think those guys really deserved it, what they did. I mean, C-band is very near and dear to us. I mean, we do a lot of that, and I think that was a very big, very important. I think one of the things that you're seeing is that in the cellular area, you've had 2.5 billion subscribers, mainly in the large cities. The next billion subscribers are going to come from smaller properties. And satellite is a very good way of providing interconnections if you do it right. And I think we do it very right using our system, which really avoids any double hopping. And I think the growth of that has been really a lot this last year. You've seen a lot of that satellite backhaul growth. I think supporting cellular systems is a major one. U.S. government, I think with the launch of a new satellite where they're going to go with X and K band, I think that's going to be a major influence on what we have to do. Right now we're in the middle of developing X band and K band product so that we can sell into that market. I think that was a major event. This is the first satellites DoD has launched in 20, 30 years. I mean, so mainly they've been using commercial facilities, and now we're going to be using a lot more government facilities. Ken Miller was named World Teleport Executive of the Year, won that award. We were actually, as a teleport operator, in the top three with World Teleport Association. Ken and I have worked together since 1972, and Ken winning this thing was a really great thing because he really deserved that a lot. And we had a lot of good things happen to the company this year. I think this acquisition, from our standpoint, was a major thing for us. It's our first acquisition we've done, and we hope it's the first of a few, and it's been very successful for us. That's been a major thing for us. But I think you also, acquisitions in general, and mergers in the FSS area, with the equity people coming in and doing a lot of acquisitions and buying companies and putting different FSS companies together, I think that's been something I never thought I'd see happen at the rate it's been happening.
There's one statistic which Dave was kind of alluding to when he talks about the international business and, of course, the SatCell product. That's the cellular, the backhaul product, that's what GlobalCom's calling it. There's a statistic that came out from the, I think it was the International Finance Group, financial group in Washington. They said, over the last 15 years, which is generally when the satellite industry has hit its stride, over 1 billion people in Asia have moved from abject poverty to what we would consider lower middle class living standards. So if you think about what they're doing in those markets, and you think about people now having more disposable income, which would translate into a more robust need for communications, that's probably sort of an underlying big event for the satellite industry.
And at telecom in general, I think, and in video in general too. It's just people now, there's a lot more direct to home, or people can afford it. I mean, you think about this Bharti outfit, for instance, we're dealing with. They have 50 million subscribers, and that's, you know, one company. And I think in China, there's over 300 million subscribers. And we do some work in Nigeria, and they sold 3 licenses there, and they went for about $280 million each. And said, how the hell can you justify $280 million license? They were estimating they get like 3 to 4 million subscribers. They got over 12 million subscribers. And you think about a country like the difference in income, and that's only in the major cities. And they're talking now about moving it. We have, for instance, a contract to provide cellular service to us into like a second-tier city in Nigeria right now, Kano. And I think cell phones start becoming more of a necessity to people. I mean, one of the reasons they're putting them in Alaska are for necessity, for emergency use and things like that. So once you get those cell phones in there, I think it starts becoming, you know, a necessity.
That's a contract you guys have in Alaska.
Yeah, that's a contract we have. That was that one I was talking about with DCI. I think you're going to see a lot more of this cellular backhaul and the satellite being a major part of the growth of cellular.
Thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, it's always been exciting being a public company, especially in these times. I personally wish it was a lot less exciting, but I think we're doing well, and I think one of these days our stock price might actually reflect that. So anyway, that's about it. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Dave, for spending some time with us today, and we wish you a very successful show.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by the editors of SatelliteToday.com. For more podcast interviews and satellite communication news and analysis, visit us online at www.satellitetoday.com.